Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday edition of Housing Information You Can Trust right here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, AM 760 WJR with the Inside Outside Guys for the next 2 hours. My name is Ken Calverly, and I am the Outside Guy.
Boy, your intro gets longer every day, but I liked it. It was good. I just sat back, folded my arms, put my feet on the desk, and listened to you.
What are you going
to
do the rest of the show?
Chuck Bridenstine, the Inside Guy, happy to be with you today. We're taking your phone calls today. Today, this show is yours, 888-654-GUYS, right?
You got it.
You got it.
You got it.
You got it, brother.
What'd you do yesterday, man? It was beautiful and sunny outside yesterday. What'd you get done around your house outside yesterday?
Outside, nothing.
Why? Why? Because you're the Inside Guy?
Yeah. No, I'm still a sissy. It was still cold out. I washed the truck on the way home.
And, I mean, you drove through a truck car wash on the way home.
Oh, heck yes. I didn't get out. I don't want to ruin these beautiful, soft hands.
Leather hands.
Yeah, right. I almost said something politically incorrect. But I went home. I vacuumed all the carpets. And I told you, I'm just amazed at what I pick up in our carpets because we live clean. It's my wife and I. We're empty nesters. And I look at that canister, I go, where did that stuff, we don't have pets. It's like, I don't know even where that stuff comes from.
Really?
And cleaned the kitchen. I did something else like that too, and I can't think.
You're going to make someone a good wife someday, you know that?
You know what? If I looked good in a skirt, I could be Barbara Billingsley on Leave It to Beaver, June her name?
Yes.
June Cleaver.
Yes.
Yep. God bless her.
You know what? One of her favorite roles was she played a passenger in the movie Airplane.
Oh, my goodness.
And
yes,
I won't go any further because it was really unpolitically correct and you couldn't do it today.
Oh.
But it was hilarious. It was just hilarious.
You know, I read a thing about her years ago. I don't even know how do we get on this stuff?
I don't know.
But when she started doing that show, she smoked. And she realized at the time that she was going to become a figurehead for mothers in America.
Right.
And she quit smoking completely.
Smart lady.
She just said, I don't want to set that example. And I thought, boy, wish we had more of that today.
I was listening to something recently that said back in the day, people would go to the doctors with an upset stomach and they'd tell them, have a couple cigarettes, smoke a cigarette. You know, we're probably talking early 1900s.
It's like cocaine in the pop, right?
I'm kind of excited here. Snort
Let's
this.
Go back to those years. We got some great emails yesterday. We had tried to talk a woman in Ohio out of spending money on a geotherm system, which years ago, you and I loved the concept of.
Yep.
But they didn't quite come full circle like we thought they would. And there's a lot of great conceptual things about geotherm, but today I still wouldn't spend the money on one.
Well, if you remember right, she said it's going to happen. She had made up her mind.
Oh, yeah.
She was going to get it.
It wasn't going to not happen.
Right. It was going to happen.
And she was concerned about, you know, what the good equipment was. And water furnace was one of the ones that she asked us about.
Yes.
They are the Kleenex of that system. They've been around forever. If you're going to do one.
Comfort Master is one she asked about as well. But,
yeah.
It's, you know, they're all the same equipment pretty much made by different
anymore.
Companies.
Yeah.
So what would you do if you weren't going to do geotherm? What would you do for supplemental comfort in your house without spending that kind of money?
I'd build a really good envelope like you and I have talked about before.
You'd put your money in the envelope of the house?
I'd put my money in the envelope of the house. And then we've got such great, you know, whether it's Sharon's or CNC, we've got such great equipment out there today. Inverter technology and efficiencies with natural gas, I would stay with that.
What about heat pumps?
I like heat pumps. Boy, they've come a long way, too.
They have,
I remember we first started talking about those 25 years ago. Air source, you know, a ground source heat pump would be one that uses water, like a geotherm. Air source was only used like on the Gulf Coast because they had temperatures that allowed them, you know, to work within a minimum range of efficiency. Today, they sell air heat pumps, air-to-air heat pumps in this climate.
They do.
They supposedly have what they call a COP rating, a coefficient of performance rating in the 90 percentile.
Which is amazing.
To me, it's beyond belief. It's almost like creating gold out of rock. You know, like that can't happen.
So when you say air, I understand the ground heat pump. That makes sense. But the air heat pump,
yeah,
taking warm air out of cold air. Does it seem possible?
You know, I read a thing that at least it struck a chord with me. I don't pretend to fully understand it or comprehend it. It's like looking at the night sky. But they said until you get to absolute freezing, there is still heat in the air.
That's like trying to take warm water out of cold water. I mean, it makes no sense to me.
But until it's frozen, there's still heat in it.
Interesting. Yeah.
I know it. I agree with you. Believe me, I don't pretend to be the person that developed it or would even be able to
you're right.
Or fix it.
The technology is amazing because there's a down in Hocking Hills, Ohio, where I spend a lot of time, and that's not that far south. I know a gentleman that owns some cabin rentals, probably around six or seven of them. He heats every one of them with a heat pump, air heat pump. That's
air,
it.
Air
it works. Now, they don't get, you know, they probably don't get to renters in January and February.
No, so and you still food. Might need to supplement.
They got fireplaces in every one of those.
Yeah, with those. So that'd be an interesting. So what would you do? You ask me. I'd spend my money on the envelope and knowing I've got some great natural gas-fired equipment.
When you say envelope, people need to realize envelope. Would you consider the basement the envelope as well? Because that's something I would do. I would insulate the basement if I had a basement or a crawl space.
Absolutely.
Probably one of the first things. When I built that basement years ago, I put the what is it, R10 probably, a 2.5-inch thick? Or
1-inch styrofoam is R5, so
okay,
if you use 2
sense.
Inches, you got an R10. Yeah.
I put it on my basement walls, and I got to tell you, that basement was comfortable every time I went down.
It's amazing.
There. It was never cold.
And you didn't
it
even insulate
hot.
Your floor, your basement floor probably back then.
I
and
did
I
not.
Would today.
Yeah, I would too. You're right. You're right.
I like the systems. Remember, we had Joe Fetcher, the pole barn guy, on here a couple weeks ago, and Joe likes all-weather wood foundations. But he and I did a house for a client a few years back where we used the precast concrete basement systems that have cavities cast into them with insulation.
I know what you're talking about.
Cast into them.
I know what you're talking about, yep. Again, and they go up like Lego blocks, right?
No, it's they're monolithic panels. You need a crane. They drop a panel down onto a stone footing.
Oh, I got you.
Actually, they're manufactured over in Grand Rapids, and I was thinking Team Industries, but it's not Team Industries. It's another company. But that would be my basement system with fully insulated walls, like you said. I like the concrete on the outside for durability and aesthetics. If I ever have to resell that house, the market will buy it because it looks like a basement.
Right, right. That makes sense.
As compared to the all-weather wood, even though the all-weather wood is great. And I would insulate the basement floor because I agree with you. We're going to bring that into the envelope, so why not do it like you would the rest of the house?
Yeah, I mean, if I have an existing house, once I've exhausted all the things I can do on the outside, which is going to include probably getting new siding and putting the house wrap up and calling someone like Ace and Sons out to fill the cavities.
You mean on your current home?
Existing home, yes.
Gotcha.
However, if I'm going to build brand new today, and you know this, when was it 2012, I bought a piece of property over in Grand Blanc, and it was in a subdivision, and I decided I'm going to build a house here.
That's a beautiful piece of property.
Yeah, you know what?
And
they have the ugliest house in the world there now. But
do they?
Yeah, they
That's
really
the way
do.
It goes,
they really do. But I decided at that point I was going to do the ICFs, insulated concrete forms, from the basement all the way up to the
roof.
Which
is another great product.
It is. And let's talk about that when we get back from break. And you mentioned Joe Fletcher and having him on. And let's tell people what a barndominium is when we get back from break.
We told them about frogs yesterday. We might as well talk about barndominiums today.
People may not know that.
You and I were talking about great mechanical equipment, heating, ventilating, air conditioning. And, of course, ventilation is key when we're going to air seal the house, right?
If you're going to air seal the house, Chuck, you've got to make sure that you're breathing the cleanest, most efficient air possible. I mean, everyone's tightening up their house. So you got to make sure the system you have delivering air needs to be absolutely the best. And if you want the best, you want to call Sharon's Heating and Air Conditioning.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. I was just taking advantage of my partner's technical expertise here.
You are so
I am, but
untacky.
You know what? I could do that on my phone.
Do you answer any emails on your phone?
Never.
Never.
No,
do you even have the ability to? Do you have the ability to?
I've never enabled it. I did it when I used to be on the road a lot. I used to get emails on my phone.
Okay.
And respond to them.
On the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, that surprises me.
But I intentionally did not enable it on my phone because I don't want to constantly be... My whole thing is to be stress-free. So when I boot up my computer, I look at emails, I'll do emails. But I don't want to be getting an email every 5 minutes on my phone when I'm carrying it around. I don't. I spent 40 years doing that for work.
I'm always feeling our emails going off on my phone.
But I know you are.
All the time. Well, the thing is,
I think about you,
it doesn't stress me out at all. I'll answer them later.
Yeah, see, me, I feel like I gotta look. Gotta see what it is. Is it mom? Is she healthy?
Gotcha.
Did one of my siblings pass away?
Hold on. Your 97-year-old mom?
Is it a listener?
It's going to email you?
Yeah. I mean, I really would. So I just don't do it.
I get you. Hey, everyone, if you don't know this already, home show season is coming up, and the inside-outside guys are going to be at a lot of the home shows around Southeast Michigan.
Yeah.
And the first one we're going to be at is coming up January 27th through the 29th at the Suburban Collection Showplace. Be caller 9 at 1-800-859-0WJR to win 4 tickets to the Novi Home Show. Once again, January 27th through the 29th. And for a bonus chance to win, text keyword home to 800-859-0957. Once again, caller 9, 800-859-0957.
That's cool. 4 free tickets. How many times are we going to do that today? 3?
We'll do it one more time today.
Just once?
Just once.
Really? I'd better do it like twice.
Before we went to break, we talked about a barnominium.
Yes.
And if I had to do the one house I built in my life over again, I would do a barnominium.
Would you?
I would. I love the look of it. I love the look of it. I do. I think it's one of the smart. And I would run a business out of that barnominium. I think it is the smartest thing in the world. I think they look great.
You said they look great because, I mean, we're talking about a pole building, frame building, and it could be wood or steel. And it could be made to look like anything you wanted it to look like. It could be made to look like grandma's house if you wanted it.
Yeah, if you want to spend the money, yeah.
Or it could be made to look like a beautiful riding stable that also had a house in it, you know?
Uh-huh.
So what are you thinking when you say look?
Now, understand, I'm saying what I would do. I'm not saying what my wife would let me do. There's a big difference there.
That's why we left them at home today. No, I'm that and the fact that they wouldn't want to come.
Oh, they're not even listening to us right now, so we can say whatever we want.
Oh, yeah, right. So what would you...
I love the look of it. To me, I mean, I've...
What kind of look, though, are you thinking? That's what
I don't care about... I don't care about the look as much. I just think to have to walk out your door and be right into a barn that you can work in, that you can...
So you're thinking of walking outside of the house into a barn. That's
you're not concerned
about the look, you're concerned about the floor plan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just think it's a really cool look. And if I had a wife who wasn't so girly like she is, I think she'd love it. I think it'd be a good look for
everybody. But you keep saying look without telling me what you mean by look.
Well, when you open up the door, I'm just a man.
And door to the outside or the door to the inner storage?
You get a barnominium. You've got a 50 by 32 barn. With basically a
building
with a house attached to the outside of it.
You know, or built within the inside of it.
I think when you press that button to open it up, I would make that room look so awesome. I would have animal heads all over the place. I would have, and I'm not a gear guy, but I would just make it look so cool.
Okay.
I would love a chance to do so. I'm not going to, but I would love a chance. Go back. All right, so go back 20 years ago when I was in the meat of my business, concrete, masonry, you know, building, you name it. That would have been so wonderful. Everyone just come to my house in the morning.
Yeah, your bride would love that.
And well, you know, a lot of guys, I mean, when I started, that's the way it was with the gentleman I worked for in Southfield. We all showed up at his house this morning, and I just think it's a really cool look. And most people did consider it, and how efficient you could make it. How nice and warm you could make the inside by doing some of the stuff like we just talked about.
A good friend of mine, he helped a buddy his – that owns property that they hunt on, right? Gosh, I'll bet 30 years ago they built a barndominium. But they were concerned about local thieves and whatnot. So what they did was they built what looks like just a pole barn with wooden shutters on what we call barn doors. You know, you could slide the shutters shut across windows, right? Inside of that building then, they built a two-story home. and of course have the barn. So you walk, if you push the button, hit the overhead door, you're in a barn. It looks like you're inside of a barn.
That's so
right?
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the back side of it, you see that there's a conventional front door and two-story walls, and you walk through that front door, and you're in a house. And you open the shutters on the back end that overlook the pond and the shooting lanes, and it's a house. But they did it primarily for security reasons back then, because they didn't want the locals to think there was a house sitting vacant there.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And it's really cool, and I was just curious. That one looks like a barn, and it was intended to look like,
Your buddy Joe Fetcher, who we had on a couple weeks ago, wouldn't he love doing something like that?
Actually, his next one, he bought a parcel in, not in Oxford. What am I thinking of?
Metamora?
Ortonville.
Okay.
And he subdivided it, and he put a conventional house on the one which he's living in now. But on the second one, he swears he's going to do a barn dominium.
Okay.
That's going to be, and that's, he's going to sell the house that he built and move into the barn dominium.
And I, it's funny because on Facebook, I see all these ads for certain size barns, and the prices they're quoting, I think, are amazing. Like a 32 by 50 for $12,000. Now, that can't include the concrete. I just
no
can't
way.
Include, can't include the concrete.
Or prep of the ground. I mean, you can dump 6, 8, 10 grand just prepping the ground for the building.
You're right. If they, if they're going to take the time to do that.
Well, I was thinking of one that he was talking to me about, because he's got a client that bought a heavily wooded lot and he wants a big building on it. And the irony is he's going to pay a lot of money to get all the trees that he paid extra for cut down, the roots pulled out.
Right.
And
right.
Prep that spot.
Right, right,
he's
right.
He's going to spend a ton of money doing that, even though he spent a ton of money for the lot because of the trees. There's some irony.
So it's a really wooded lot is what you're saying.
Yeah, heavily wooded, and we've been there before. And you got to spend money to prep that and get your sand and whatnot in place before you build the building, level it off, for the concrete eventually.
Right. Makes sense. Well, I don't know. If I had a chance to do something like that, I would do it. It's funny. I look at a lot of stuff. When I was young,
be fun.
That I would do. And there were projects I took on where when I started them, I had no idea what I was doing. I just started them and I knew it would turn out okay. And I learned, I was telling my wife last night that I wish when I was younger, when a guy would say, come here, I'm gonna take care of this, I would have just paid more attention to what they're doing. I wish I would have soaked up more of the knowledge when I was younger.
So. I thought it would be a great way to retire, just to go to work for a master craftsman for 6 months at a stretch. A glass blower, a steel smelter, a knife maker.
Did you hear the government wants to take away your electric stove, Chuck?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, don't take me there.
Okay, well, I'm going to take you there in the next segment, okay? Because we're going to talk about she wants to take away your gas stove. I apologize.
I knew you meant gas.
Yeah, your gas stove. And we'll talk about that when we get back
from
this next break, because it all has to do with better air in your home, right?
Well, if you're going to build the house you and I are talking about, you better be breathing clean air through that duct system, and most people aren't. They're breathing air through that duct system that's full of all kinds of the detritus of living for decades, right?
You're right. A company you want to call to make sure you have clean air in your home 24/7 is Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning and Insulation.
888-654-GUYS, 888-654-4897. We'd love to hear from you if you've got any questions, comments, concerns, especially if you disagree with Ken.
Phone lines are wide open. We'll get you right on. Give us a call. So you've seen where Congress is starting to talk about banning electric gas stoves. I keep saying that, gas stoves. And I saw that the other day, and I just thought it was such a stupid thing. I thought it was a joke at first. And I put it on the inside outside, guys. We got some pretty good feedback.
I wish it was
about
a joke. I mentioned a year.
Please tell me it'll never happen.
Two ago, the city of Ann Arbor has declared that, and I'm not going to get this year right. It's either 2025 or 2030. They will not allow any new buildings to be built that utilize natural gas for heating, cooling, cooking, anything.
So when they have a full electric house, where do they think that power comes from?
Oh, I know it. It's insane.
It's
for people
stupid.
To think they're going to be able to get. I mean, we already have power outages. We already have them, and we don't have all electric houses. The new energy code that you and I talked about months ago, I think we actually mentioned it in an article, will require that you provide electricity at all current gas appliances. So if you're building a new house with a gas water heater, which you and I would both do, or a gas furnace, we would be required to provide a separate dedicated circuit to that appliance for the future use of electricity.
In case somebody wanted to switch to electric.
Correct.
How much does that add to a price of a home?
Oh, it's going to be tremendous.
It is.
They're mandating that a car charger go in every house, at least one.
Oh, and by the way, if that's not lobbyists doing that, I don't know. You know, that is lobbyists, yeah.
I don't even understand why. But we were talking to the Apartment Association here in Southeast Michigan. Guys like Warren Rose they're pretty well-heeled people. Mike Tobin, Mel Kafton, and they were thinking their cost to do that for one apartment.
Yep.
Their cost would be like $1,500 minimum.
Okay.
And so if they're building a 400-unit apartment complex, multiply that 400 times 1,500, and that's just additional cost for something that maybe 2% of their clientele is going to actually need. Think about that. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And they got to charge additional rent for that, right? If the unit costs me more, I got to charge more rent. So all this stuff goes right directly back to the listener, to the consumer, because there's no way in heck that cost is absorbed by the business person. It can't be. It's not realistic.
I agree with you. Do you remember when you and I went to our first International Builder Show together? It's probably somewhere around 2000. Oh, it's 2009.
I remember I had to hold your hand because you were so afraid of all the big builders
walking around. I was scared, yeah.
I do. But, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And you and I walked by a display that had fireplaces, gas fireplaces. And that's when they first started coming out with the non-vent gas fireplaces.
Oh, yes.
And both of our reaction was, how? How?
How and never.
How and never, exactly. If you're going to have a flame in your house, it is going to put off carbon monoxide, period.
And
there's
other
no way
gases,
around it. And other gases.
If it isn't perfectly clean, I mean, that perfectly clean, beautiful blue flame.
Bluer the cleaner, right?
Right. And if you got any orange at all, you're putting particulate into the air. Didn't you do a post on our Facebook about the stoves being banned, the gas stoves, the asthma?
Yes, exactly. But I'm going to that point because how are they going to promote a vent-free fireplace when they say you can't have a stove that has a pilot light on it? We'll get back to this discussion. 888-654-GUYS. Let's talk to Mike in Deckerville. Good morning, Mike. You're on with the guys.
Good morning, fellas. I've got a question about, one of these utility buildings that you see around. It looks like a little lofted barn, basically, and it's 12 by 26, and it's just studs on the inside, and I want to insulate it. I'm thinking about putting the little the silver foil on the floor and putting a floating floor over that, basically for a radiated, you know, prevent radiating heat or cold. But the biggest thing I'm wondering is up on the roof. It's a steel roof. It's got OSB behind it, and I want to insulate it, but there's no ridge cap vent. Is there something I can still insulate it? I'm not going to be heating or cooling it. Basically, I just kind of want to keep it somewhat consistent, and I'm worried about condensation or any not having a vent underneath that steel roof.
I respect that. Too bad more people don't think that way.
The roof, though, what would he insulate? A trough pack, maybe? Spray it?
Yeah, and 12 by 24, I'd probably have Ace and Sons or somebody come in
and spray
Amnesty
it.
And spray it and put a what we call a hot deck on it. You know, it doesn't take much to put a ridge vent in even a metal roof. And if it preserves and protects the building, it's worth it. I would also, before I put that reflective foil on the floor, put a clear, non-breathable sealer down, wouldn't you?
Yep.
To prevent any moisture from coming up.
If he's going to go, I mean, just honestly, an old paint, right? It doesn't have to be clear if he's going to put something over top of it.
Yeah, but I mean, it'd be a non-breathable sealer is what I'd want. I wouldn't want, because paint
might
just... I should
have mentioned it's a wood floor also.
Yeah, I thought you were going to do something like that if you're going to put a foil down on it, that you were going to put some kind of decent flooring. But definitely on concrete.
It's wood to start. There's no concrete. It's wood to start right now. It's a portable building.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
That's okay.
Right. I mean, so what's your reason for the ceiling? You thought it was concrete?
I thought it was concrete. Okay. So it's a wood floor right now. Is it treated wood on top of raw soil, sand, or a crawl or something?
It's treated wood on top of, there's four 6x8 skids underneath of it, and I got crushed concrete underneath of it raised up, so it definitely doesn't have a moisture problem. I'm just worried about
ropes
and things like that if I insulate on the underside of it.
Gotcha. I mean, if you're on skids, you've got air moving underneath it, you know, to hopefully dissipate moisture, and Mother Nature should take care of that for you if you didn't build it in the middle of a, you know, wetted area or anything like that.
Yeah, if you have air moving underneath it, I don't know how much good anything you're going to put underneath it's going to really work at that point.
I wouldn't even mess with that.
Yeah, or if you did anything, go underneath and do it, but you probably don't have the room to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
What about on the walls? Are you planning on doing the
probably rock? Yeah, probably like rock wool or something like that on the walls.
Gotcha. I mean, that'll work. That'll work for you. I don't think you're going to have a moisture problem in there. The only problem with metal roof decks, of course, can be condensate because of temperature differentials. Even though you don't have a lot of humidity, you can still get condensate because your warm moisture will rise to the peak of that roof. Are you going to put a ceiling of any kind in that building or no?
Nope, I'll just leave it lofted like it is. And pretty much what it is, it's storage for some antique furniture and stuff. And in the warmer months, we've got a bed out there. You know, if we happen to have company with stepkids come or something, they like to stay out there. So just kind of basically want to eliminate the temperature extremes where it heats up during the day, cold at night, or in the winter where it gets really cold during the day, then sun hitting on it, and it warms up a little. And I kind of want to keep it stable for what's being stored in there more than anything.
I would put, I mean, you can, if you go look where you bought your metal roofing, you can buy metal ridge vent. And it really is, if you're at all handy or whoever built that for you, a simple procedure to go up there and cut a little bit of either side of the deck at the ridge and install that metal flashing ridge vent over the top of it. On metal roofs, it's probably as easier, don't you think, Ken, as it is on a conventional shingled roof. I would do that and then maybe put a hot deck in. Have Amnesty or Ace and Sons come in and spray the underside of that with foam.
Okay, that's probably your best bet. I will look into that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck with that, buddy.
Yep, bye.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. 888-654 guy. Let's see. We have time here. We do. Let's talk to Greg and Shelby. Hey, Greg, what's going on?
Hey, Dynamic Duo, Mr. Positive. Real quick, people are afraid to ask and call. They love your show and great Facebook posts. Real quick, I love it. When you plug in your outlet and it has three prongs as opposed to two, what is the difference and why can't two prongs do the same thing as three prongs? Why do you need three? What's the third one do?
Yeah. That third one,
it keeps you alive.
Yeah, it's intended to keep you alive. It's intended to run straight to ground. And it's that old thing about if current flows through you, but it's got nowhere else to go, it can hurt you, you know, depending on amperage and voltage. And the idea of that third little arced inlet on a receptacle is that that's connected directly to ground. You'll have a grounding rod driven into the earth so that any live current, this what they call stray current, that ends up in the circuit hopefully runs to ground and not to you.
By plugging something in into an outlet? How could it get to me when I just bent over as I plug a cord into a wall? Why would it?
Yeah, it shouldn't.
I don't care.
But what if you plugged in a frayed cord? What if you plugged in a cord that had all the insulation gone off it, and as you plugged it in, your fingers were touching bare wires on either side?
Okay, but doesn't that change the contact and dynamic?
Well, yeah, but we're talking you, though, Greg. This could be a three-year-old kid we're talking about to do this. And the energy, literally the electricity, will go outside into the ground instead of going through the person.
It's not going to hurt anybody.
Very, very good, you guys. Thank you very much. I like that. Very didactic. And everyone, go for your dreams. Love you guys.
Appreciate Thanks, Greg. That.
Actually, it's a good question, Greg.
No, it's a great question. It really is. And it's interesting because I start thinking about ground fault circuit interrupters. And we've got a couple different protections in our electrical systems. One of them is the ground. Another one is the breakers. And what breakers do, what happens in your electrical circuits is wire or current flows through the black wire to the point of use, then it flows back to where it came from through the white wire. That's why they call it a circuit. If you think of the word circle, it completes a circuit. As long as that's balanced, the breaker will let current flow through it. So you can operate your blow dryer or whatever, your toaster. But if there's any imbalance, the breaker's supposed to trip. A conventional breaker may not trip until you're dead.
Right.
Or Fido right. is dead because he bit through the lamp cord.
Right.
The GFCIs will trip at a really minute current imbalance of 5/1000ths of an amp, 5 milliamps.
All they need to detect, and they're going to. So Fido might throw a little shock, but he's not going to die.
Nope, the breaker's going to kick, and he's gonna be going, oh, shoot, shouldn't have bit into that lamp cord.
You know, it's been a pretty good winter so far, and we don't get a lot of, when it's not really cold, you're not going to be able to know whether you have really good windows or not.
Good point.
And if you think there's a chance you may need new windows, the people that make the windows that Clarkson Window and Door provide are made in Canada, in the Great White North. They're phenomenal windows. If you think you need new windows and new doors, make sure you contact Clarkson Window and Door. With over 80 years of combined housing experience, the Inside Outside Guys needs to be your one-stop shop for any and all of your housing needs. Whether you're building a brand new house or you just have some questions about something going on inside your house, go to theinsideoutsideguys.com. Click on Ask a Question. We'll get back to you every time. Let's stick with the phones. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Let's talk to Richard in Perrysburg, Ohio. Good morning, Richard. You're on with the guys.
Good morning, gentlemen. Got a question about my son's home. It's a home built about 95. It's a two stories, got five bedrooms upstairs, about 2,300 square feet. The furnace and air conditioner I've been concerned about, maybe I should replace it. It's getting to, I would rather do it. I can do that myself for him. I've done it before, but I don't want to wait until it fails to get into this project. But the thing that's been, I've been wondering about is him being upstairs, five bedrooms, and keeping that cooler upstairs. And I'm thinking, I'm wondering if a mini split to just do the upstairs might be a better way to control temperature up there so that they can get that, you know, where it's comfortable upstairs and downstairs.
So Richard is a basement in the house and he has a forced air furnace now, and it's just not able to stay Correct. Comfortable upstairs during the extreme heat and cold seasons. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Chuck, you know where we're going to go first thing on this. And we have had such great results referring this to people. We're going to tell a little story as we do it. 99% of the houses that are built out there with the forced air system, the furnace, the ductwork is crimped together. And anyone that we recommend bringing Amnesty air duct cleaning in and putting an aero seal into their ductwork solves the problem that you're having right now. Because there are so many leaks in that ductwork from your furnace all the way up to that far part, all the air leaves before it gets to where it needs to go. And Chuck and I have spoken to, I mean, in person, people who have had this done, and they rave. Not just, they rave about how much.
We're going to again, I think.
Say again, bud?
I think we're going to do that again.
I'm sure we are.
Talking with Amnesty, and one of their clients that had that product is going to be part of the show.
And Richard, that will cost so much less than a mini split system, and you need it anyway. I mean, you should get it done anyway.
Couple suggestions. If you're going to do it yourself, you might go out and hedge your financial bet and buy that furnace today and just have it in the box in the garage.
You mean the mini split?
Well, if he's going to replace the furnace. If he's going to do the aero seal and do the furnace, then he could go buy the new furnace and just set it in a box. And you'll save yourself, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 price increases between now and whenever he actually has to replace it.
Okay.
If you're going to do it yourself.
Yeah. We're planning on doing it, you know, maybe May during that time of transition when there's no heat or cooling really required.
Makes sense.
Daikin and Mitsubishi make great mini splits, and they also have what they call inverter technology, where you can have a single heat or air conditioning unit, you know, generating the conditioned air, but you can actually zone that throughout a single building. And I don't know if that technologically is beyond your expertise. It's certainly beyond mine. We'd have to have Sharon's or CNC come out and do that for us. But you can do that. You could zone the upstairs from a single unit with the new inverter technology that they have with those two companies. And Daikin is a U.S. company. Our buddies told us about that for years. I think in Texas. Does that sound right,
Ken? Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah.
That's kind of what so I might consider that as well. I would do. Yeah, put that unit up in the attic and just have it serve those that upper part of the house where the heat's just naturally coming to and not
gotcha.
Rely on the cooling from the unit in the basement so much for the to try to keep that upstairs maintained, have a separate unit sized and smaller that just takes care of that and still have the other unit available to cool the downstairs. But
yeah, that's very commonly done. You can run several ducts in a single zone off a mini split that services the upstairs. You know, the problem with attic-fed units, of course, is that warm air wants to rise, and you're trying to push warm air down from the ceiling, and cool air naturally will fall, so it's easier to air conditioning with those units that are up in the attic than it is to heat. And of course, in the Midwest, heat tends to be our big issue, right?
And I agree with you, but I definitely would. I mean, if you're pushing it that far, I would, before I did anything, I would look into having those ducts sealed first, because that might happen. You might go,
I would too.
Hey, this is nice. I don't need anything else.
We hear that from a lot of people.
Yeah. We hear from a lot of people.
That solved the problem entirely, yeah. And they'll measure it. Amnesty will measure before and after at each supply register.
That's
they'll
huge.
Show you.
Yeah.
What they did, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Does that help?
And that company, again, Amnesty Air?
Air Duct Cleaning. You can find them at theinsideoutsideguys.com.
Okay.
And also, stick around for the next caller. Listen to the next caller, because he's going to sing the praises of Amnesty. He's calling in to do that right now. Let's talk to Paul in Trenton. Good morning, Paul. You're on with the guys.
Hey, good morning, guys. Amnesty was in my office yesterday. Melvin, the lead guy, was the most pleasant, professional to the T. My God, I was so impressed. They were good. Very, very good.
Appreciate that, and Paul. What was he doing in your office? What are you having done?
Duct cleaning. I had 7 furnaces in the building, and they were there for about 9 hours, 5 guys, and left it specked clean. All the stuff was vacuumed out. Just great. Just absolutely a fabulous job.
Wow. Yeah, that positive experience that you gave us a call, we so appreciate that, Paul.
Yeah, that it makes was a big great. So I'm going to call them back for sealing the ducts now. I just heard the story about that. May have called them.
God bless you, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Have a good day, guys. Yep.
You okay, too, bye-bye. Sir. You too.
And Amnesty, you said it's on our website, 877-349-8877.
Yes, there you go. Our number. Every so often, a technology comes out that experts in the industry, which Chuck and I are experts in the housing industry, make us go, wow, unbelievable. And that AeroSys seal system is one of those things.
It's a great product.
It's an unbelievably great product. And you and I, who have messed with duct systems all our lives, I mean, we can go up to most duct systems and go, hey, I bet you got a leak there, got a leak there, got a leak there, got a leak there.
Everywhere two pieces come together.
Exactly. Yeah. And for it to seal that off and to make that air get to where it needs to be is a phenomenal technology.
And what a lot of people don't understand is the supply side returns that AeroSeal will seal.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those are buried in the frame. You don't even see those. You don't even know they exist. But that register up high on a wall, that goes through a duct that's buried in the wall, and the AeroSeal will get to that.
You're right. Hey, stick around for another hour of the Inside Outside, guys. We're going to have another chance to win some tickets to the Novi Home Show coming up at the last weekend of this month. And you heard Greg just call and ask about electricity. We have a company Lake Point Electric, that has been in the electrical, and Chuck, what do we call these guys? The brain surgeons of the home industry.
Yep.
They know so much. But when you hire an electrician, you have to make sure you hire one that has a proven record, putting in new generators, plugs, you name it. If you need anything electrical, we want you to contact Lake Point Electric.
888-654-4897. We've had some good calls today. We had some good ones yesterday. We appreciate those, and we appreciate all the emails during the week, don't we?
We do. We do. Keep them coming to theinsideoutsideguys.com or give us a call right now, 888-654-4897. We're talking about them wanting to take away our gas stoves. And Chuck, what else?
My oldest daughter will fight that to the, and she lives in California.
She lives in California, where they can't even have a fire. They can't even have. Is it the whole state of California? They can't.
No.
They can't have any fires.
They. Because I know my son-in-law does a lot of camping, you know, and he'll do fires out in the desert and in the Sierra Nevadas or wherever all he goes. But there are some jurisdictions that have outlawed. Solid fuel devices. If you build a new home and you want a fireplace that burns wood, you cannot do it in some jurisdictions. Yeah.
Kind of Colorado has some of that as well. But
yeah.
You actually can't burn a fire in your own fireplace. And if you do, the local, you know, environmentalist Karen's going to be calling.
I was going to say your neighbor.
Somebody.
Yeah, Karen, that's good. That's good. Oh, my gosh. I had to stop and think about that.
What? There's smoke coming out of his fireplace.
He's burning something. Secret document. You posted a thing on Facebook regarding gas stoves and asthma. Was there
Well, that's one of the reasons they want to stop the gas stoves is asthma, which also equals air quality, which gets us on the subject, what else should they ban in a house because of those reasons?
Carpeting, drapes, cloth furniture.
Well, when you cook something.
Plastic containers of any kind.
There you go.
Saran wrap.
Yep.
I mean, you start running down that list. That's a dangerous
candles.
Door to stick your toe through. What did you just say?
Candles.
Oh.
You can't. They're going to outlaw candles. You can't
burn candles.
There
goes your love life. Ken takes home a candle every time we do a show.
So. How you doing?
Hi, baby.
I walk in. Yeah, that's what it takes. Look, honey, I got a candle.
Daddy's home.
All right.
Sorry.
So, I mean, don't be sorry. That's okay. But that's just ridiculous. We've had gas. I mean, it's ingenious that we have gas stoves in our house. It's ingenious that we have electricity in our house. It's ingenious that we have plumbing that you turn a handle and water comes out in our house.
Go to any commercial kitchen, you're going to see gas stoves.
That's a good point.
That's what they cook. What are you going to do, close every restaurant?
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
I just can't comprehend the kind of thinking that leads to that. Now, here's what you and I have said for the 15, 16 years we've been on the radio. When you do those things, well, even if you don't have gas appliances, but most of us do, at least have a furnace, right?
Shouldn't they outlaw cigarettes? Shouldn't cigarettes be illegal?
I've never smoked, and I don't. So you'd think I would readily agree, but I just, you know what? If you want to smoke. If you want to smoke in your house, but you're right. How many fires? How many deaths? Air, talk about contaminated air.
Amen.
Good heavens.
Amen.
But you and I talk about ventilation, controlled ventilation, because we'll get those old builders, guys my age, that'll go, well, heck, if you're going to seal up the house and then just poke holes in it to bring air in, why don't you just leave it unsealed to begin with, you dummy? You know, it's like, oh, gosh.
Well, at least you said your age.
Yeah, I did. I slander my own generation. But, you know, controlled ventilation where you're bringing in fresh air and you're not dumping conditioned air that you spent good money to condition out into, you know, the outdoors, you're controlling it. And there's ways to do it today. You know, we live in great times.
Like I said a minute ago, the fact you can walk up to a wall, flip a switch, and you have lights.
You're right.
You know, you can walk up to a sink and turn a handle and you have hot water.
Flush a toilet.
There you go.
I remember a song from the movie Oklahoma that there was a line when I was a kid, you can walk the privies in the rain and never wet your feet. And I remember asking my dad, I said, what the heck was that, Dad?
He said
it was a reference to, yeah, to the outhouses. If you got up in the middle of the night and had to go to the bathroom and it was raining, you had to walk outside in the rain to the privy do your thing. Yeah.
No, nope, I'd have a bucket
in my
house. You'd
have a chamber pot.
Exactly. That's what you call it. I'd have a bucket in my house. Wouldn't do it. And some of those days in the winter, they would have to take a rope and connect it because the storms are so bad.
Out in the west.
You could literally be lost for good walking out of your house to the outhouse.
Yeah. Out in Iowa and Nebraska and, those states, they were so bad. You're right. They literally could get lost and disoriented in snowstorms.
Yeah.
That's incomprehensible.
We live in
today.
A wonderful time. We really do.
We do.
888-654 guys equals 888-654-4897. Taking any and all of your housing questions, just like we're going to with Dean from Troy. Good morning, Dean. You're on with the guys.
Good morning, guys. Great show as always. Recently purchased a house and like a 8x8 section, they put like a ceramic tile. They glued ceramic tile down on a hardwood floor.
Ooh. And right to the floor?
Yeah, they right straight to the floor, hardwood floor. I already pulled all the tile up, and you know, there's kind of just left is the residue of the webbing, you know, the tile webbing and glue. Yep. And some spots are bare hardwood now, but there's other spots not. But I'd like to know if you have anything I could use.
Well, Dean, I committed a sin radio. I brought you on just before we're about to go to break, and I really do apologize. I'm sure I'm getting yelled at somewhere about that right now. But when we get back from break, we'll answer your question if you don't mind just hanging on for a minute, my friend. In the meantime, Chuck, we keep talking about clean air.
I know.
When COVID first hit, clean air was a rave. Everyone wanted to make sure that they had clean air in their house. And we'd be referring to companies like CNC Heating and Air Conditioning to put in their many different air cleaner, microscopic air cleaners. You want clean air in your house. You want to make sure you're for a $59 furnace tune-up. Call them today. CNC Heating and Air Conditioning.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. I want to remind you the phone lines are open for you at 888-654-4897. During the week, of course, InsideOutsideGuys.com and the article in the Detroit News Homestyle section every Friday addresses a specific issue that we just don't have time to talk about during the show.
You're right. So I just got a text from a friend and says, what if gas stoves start identifying as electric stoves?
I like that.
All right, we're talking 888-654-4897. We're talking to Dean and Troy, who has some ceramic tile on the hardwood floor. And Dean, is your goal to bring back that hardwood over time?
Yes, it is.
Good goal.
Is it real hardwood? I mean, is it solid oak?
Yeah, from the 50s.
Okay. Yep. It's funny, I just talked to a buddy of mine in Traverse City that's doing a similar project. So what's your question? How can we help you, Dean?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what's the best product to use to kind of strip that off of the surface of the hardwood floor before I sand it down. Maybe mineral spirits or something like that would kind of help release some of that glue. And
So they put it down with the construction adhesive? Is that what they did?
Yeah.
I would use an acetone.
I would.
Carefully.
Now, it's funny. When I got off the air with you, I was reminded of a house that I flipped years ago, and it had hardwood floors and had carpeting. And under the carpeting, the padding actually melted onto the hardwood floors. I mean, it was crazy how hard it was to get up. And at a certain point, I said, the heck with it. I didn't care. I mean, I wanted to keep the hardwood floor, but I just grabbed a scraper. A steel scraper, Dean. I don't know if this is where you want to go or not. And I scraped the stuff all off. And then when it was done, it took a long time to sand down nice again.
Sure.
But
you can do it.
I had to do it. And that may be what you need to do is grab a scraper. But if you use an acetone, like Chuck was saying, only use a little bit at a time, a little area at a time. That stuff will dry up so fast if you put it down.
What I'll do is I'll put it on a rag.
There you go.
And I'll lay the rag on top of what
Perfect.
I'm doing.
Perfect.
Crack a window nearby because it's highly evaporative and flammable, of course.
Yep.
But then scrape, that's a great product if you use it carefully. And then I would rent a commercial sander from a tool rental, equipment rental place.
Chet's not far from you on Crooks Road.
Yep. Oh, there you go.
Yep.
Yep.
That's how we would do it, Dean.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem, buddy. No problem. That's not, you know what? I remember when I pulled those. I had a feeling when I bought that house that had hardwood floors because an older. It was, you know, those are those were subfloors. So those are all subfloors
exactly.
And I remember when I peeled it back and I went, yes, it has hardwood floors. And I was so excited because now everyone loves those floors.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember.
They're expensive.
It was
beautiful.
Unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable how hard this padding, it was a carpeted padding, was to get off this floor.
Yeah.
It melted. It was until at the point where it's like, the heck with it.
The cheap padding combined with the old shellac they used to finish those floors,
it.
And
right.
It would become embedded in that as right. It disintegrated. But it's interesting. It's been years since I've done that. But the last time I did it was the advent of the water-based polyurethanes, the gym floor finishes.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, I used it because it was in my own home. If it fails, I'm not going to sue myself, right? And I love that product. I was shocked.
Back then you did?
Yeah.
Really?
At how well I was. It used to be you could do a coat every 2 days, right? Maybe.
Yep.
This stuff, you could do 2 coats, 3 coats a day. And I think we put it down with flannel on the end of a tool,
okay.
Flannel cloth, to make sure that you didn't get lint pieces in it and, you know,
sure.
All
sure.
kinds of garbage. But I got to tell you, actually, the floor ended up too slippery. It's one of those we had to put down rugs to keep from walking in there in your stocking feet and breaking your back.
Gotcha.
It was scary, but it was a great finish, and it was easy.
Well, you know, I think it's a sin against housing to cover up so many of those old floors.
I agree.
There's so many beautiful hardwoods. Like I said, we're the subfloor. They didn't put out a subfloor and then do what they do now, which is put a engineered floor over top it. This was the finished floor when they were done.
Yeah.
And you got more squeaks. All those floors seemed to squeak,
oh, they did.
Squeak over time.
The old stores that you walked in that had those hardwood floors, and, boy, you could hear
Kresge's
every step.
And Royal Oak. You're
yeah.
right. You're right.
I loved yeah. it. Hudson's, yeah. the old all of them.
It's funny you mention that. A core memory,
is.
As soon as you say
comes
that,
back,
comes back
it?
To me. Yeah. yeah.
I used to look for pins in the cracks. You know, I'd collect the straight pins that would fall in those cracks in those clothing. I don't ask me why. I was 12. No, I was 6. I was 2. Anyway.
Whatever.
yeah.
You were never that.
But it was. But it really was good stuff. And today, you know, you mentioned that we put down an engineered wood product. You and I got a chance to meet some people that we're going to preview next week that have taken engineered wood product and I guess taken it to the next step, right? They've made it a super engineered product that can actually be used outside, which we've been cynics of for a lot of decades.
You know, it's funny you say a lot of decades because it has literally been a lot of decades that we've been cynic of this kind of stuff. And what the R&D that has been successful that you and I have seen in our lifetime is just amazing.
Amazing.
2010, I remember how hard I had to search to find a cedar shake vinyl siding that looked even close to real cedar shake.
And that doesn't seem long ago at all, relatively speaking.
I'm not kidding. I probably looked at 20 different products before I picked the product that I thought looked the best, like real cedar shake.
Oh, that was for your place up north.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was a beautiful product. Was
it? And it looked really good, didn't it?
It did. It looked great.
Nowadays.
I forgot about that.
They've got those products. Diamond Coat Building product. They have those products that, I'll take that one. It wouldn't be a decision today because it looks so real.
Yeah, Diamond Coat Building products. We got a chance to meet with a couple of those gentlemen, and we're going to be visiting the factory in the next month, and we're going to, I think we're going to start an ad campaign with them next week, right?
Yes, sir.
Next weekend.
Yep.
But they have really taken what you and I just kind of generically refer to as oriented strand board, OSB. Mm-hmm. It's an engineered wood product. Some people call it large chip board. And 30 years ago, that was appropriate. But Diamond Coat has taken this to the next generation. And we love what we saw. And we're going to be on some job sites. And we'll bring you those installs from hopefully a job site or two.
Yep.
On the show. But shocked, I guess, is the way I kept looking at that product going, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
You and I take very seriously the products and the companies that we refer on the inside
absolutely.
Outside, guys. Housing information you can trust is everything to Chuck and I. We will not give you someone that we don't trust, or we would not learn. We would not give you a number or a referral to someone that we don't trust.
Yeah.
And when it comes to building products, if we're going to refer Pro Home Improvement, and we know the company and we've toured the factories of the product that they install, how much better and how does it make us feel when we refer or when we recommend those products?
If I didn't feel comfortable using this on my own building,
right,
I wouldn't even have mentioned it.
Right.
But I would actually use that today, and I wouldn't have used it 5 years ago.
You're right. You're right. Yeah.
It's amazing.
So many. We get all these calls because people love the look of cedar. And they want to do a cedar house, and not necessarily a log house, but just a cedar plank house. Well, Dimaco Building Products has a cedar plank that is amazing. It looks just like cedar without the maintenance that we get emails about all the time, whether it's maintenance or how do I get the woodpecker stop eating the side of my house.
Their warranty, you and I always look to warranty, right? No matter who we're talking. I don't care if it's Sharon's with a furnace or Diamond Coat with a siding product. We ask about their warranty. And we want to know, is it first person? Is it non-prorated? How long is it? And we're excited to talk about this. So next week, hopefully, we'll have a chance during the show next week and spend a little more time.
Oh, yeah. Definitely spend some more time. Be hearing a lot more about Diamond Coat Building Products when we get back from break. Give us a call, 888-654-GUYS, and as soon as we get back from break, we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to the Novi Home Show coming up 27th through the 29th.
Yeah. Want to remind everybody that if you're looking to repair an existing roof, or you've just got a situation where you want a brand new roof, whether it's a commercial building or a house, our experts at Kanga Four Seasons are the people you should call. Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us.
Why are you laughing, Chuck?
Oh, I'm just thinking someday, do we dare leave the mics on? No.
During the break?
No. No, I don't think so.
Now, if you want to stay married, we don't.
I just told Ken, you know, I spent 40 years teaching adults throughout the country, and I hearken back to Greg. Greg's from Shelby Township, and I'm not going to get into this, but he asked about ground wires, and I want to do a seminar on it now. You know, and I got to resist, you know, just talking about that particular topic.
Well, we do have, I mean, why? I mean, this is the place to do it.
Yeah, but you know me, I.
What? You've never had a problem with talking?
No, believe me, I have to hold my lips together because I'd go 8 hours with it. You know, I'd want graphics. Let's get the overhead slide projector going. That's, and it's just that conditioning over 4 decades.
Oh, if I could laugh out loud. We were talking about our brides during the break. And it's funny, Chuck, because you talk about keeping our mouth shut. I've had discussions with my wife where I'll literally take my index finger, shove it in my mouth, bite down on it.
It's like when you're getting a bullet pulled out of your shoulder.
I don't want to interrupt her because what I have to say is not more important than what she's saying at the time. Boy, that's funny stuff.
Never will be, brother.
888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897. Hey, be caller 9 right now at 800-859-0WJR to win a 4-pack tickets to the Novi Home Show January 27th through the 29th at the Suburban Collection Showplace. The guys are looking forward to seeing you there. For a bonus chance to win, text keyword HOME, H-O-M-E, to 800-859-0957. For more info and official contest rules, visit WJR.com.
So caller number 9 can get 4 free tickets.
You got it, man.
To that show. That is cool.
You got it.
Yep. That is cool.
It's always, for you and I, that January show is always the funnest show. It always recharges our batteries. Everyone's ready to get outside and start doing
some work. We need it at this time of year, right?
I agree. We do need it.
And you know what? I was thinking about what you said yesterday.
You were.
We're heading to spring.
We are. 15th. Today's 15th.
We're over the cusp.
Today's halfway point.
Yeah. So I want to say that, and I want to combine that with what we just said. The home show will remind you of the truth of that statement, and now's the time to be planning.
Yesterday, to me, was a perfect winter day because It was sunny.
No snow.
And no snow.
No salt.
I'm
no
okay
ice.
With the cold. No snow, no ice.
Wasn't afraid of falling and breaking my back.
And if you look right now at the extended 10-day forecast, you see some rain, but you don't see any major cold or any snow.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. All right, 888-654 guys. Let's talk to Matthew in Royal Oak. Good morning, Matthew. You're on with the Inside Outside Guys on WJR.
Morning, guys. Great show as usual, and listen to you all the time on my way to golf on Saturday mornings when we can golf.
Wait a minute. So are you heading to Topgolf or a dome right now, or
no, not. We were thinking about golfing Wednesday. We'll see.
Keep working on that swing.
Well, there's no snow on the ground, we'll golf.
You know, my daughter sent me a text yesterday of a golf course in the pier that's open year round. Said, "Here you go, Dad."
Which one is it? You know?
Oh, I do.
Oh, there's a few out there. Trust me.
The country club.
Well, Maple Lanes.
If you look over that way, today, so.
Maple Lanes in Sterling Heights on Maple 14 Lane. Or 15 miles. They are always open. They will not close.
I love it.
That is correct.
How can we help
the problem
you?
There,
let us know how you're shooting,
the geese.
You're right.
Anyway, gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. We're trying to replace an older floor for my kitchen. It's a vinyl floor, about 15-plus years. And okay. I was looking at the luxury vinyl plank product. What would you guys recommend for that? As far as the, you know, possible manufacturer, et cetera.
I'll Boy, there you. Are so many good products out there.
Exactly. I know there are. But should I go to a do-it-yourself store like Menards or Home Depot, or should I look at more of a special flooring place?
We would send you to Floor and Decor. They
okay,
have,
gotcha.
I mean, one of the problems I've had there is trying to find help because they're so busy. You might be there
right.
for a little while, but they've got every product right. you could possibly want in that store
they
when
do,
it comes to flooring.
We've bought installed product from there and had good luck with it. If you want it installed for you, Ultra Floor and Shelby does a great job.
They do.
Fabulous Floors as well could do a great job. But if it's a DIY project, I agree with Ken. I think Floor and Decor is where to go. You can look at good, better, best and get a real sense
gotcha.
Of what's out there. We love that product.
Okay, gotcha. So that would be a good choice as far as wear and tear and the maintenance and so forth.
You know what? It's a great combination of things. Obviously, you can get a wood look if you want it, or a tile
right.
look. So if you want that look, and yeah, I mean it'll take abuse. It's softer than walking on wood. I always loved. I used to put hardwood in kitchens, my own, mm-hmm. which is stupid by
right.
any measure. But
oh, you're right. It is.
But we did it. And that product to me is a great compromise because it's warm, it's soft, you can drop a pan on it. I mean, just everything about it. If you had to replace a couple planks, you could do that fairly easily. I mean, just everything. I love it.
I love the rolled stuff, though, Chuck. I really
do.
Do
you?
I do.
We did so much of that over the years. I used to work for bars and a few other places where we did a lot of that. So I am harking back to those.
I would rather use the rolled than have all the seams that could possibly come apart over time, especially how beautiful the stuff is now.
It's pricey.
Oh, I agree.
It's amazing what you pay for a seam.
Yeah, and we didn't want to put a. Yeah, the rolled is somewhat pricey, and I've got a brother-in-law who's going to help me install this, and he's done many. But you know, I just want to make it easy. But my one concern is when you say, would you drop something and have to replace a plank? You have to start at the wall to go to where it is. So that kind of concerned me. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you, I'm glad you've got somebody if you're going to do rolled seamless that's done it before, because there are a few little secrets and tricks. And once you got them, you can do a beautiful job. But if you don't know how to do it,
right.
you can screw it up, and it's a costly.
Yeah,
we used to use the product that had the printed patterns on them, and those would wear off in a year and a half.
Right.
Today,
right.
they're actually embossed,
pressed in there.
And you can't hardly wear that product out. So let us know what you
right.
do.
Yeah. Floor and Decor, we went there about a year and a half ago, whatever it was. And like you said, it was hard to get help because, you know, they're so busy. So, but it seemed like a great store and a lot of product to choose from. So,
yep. Yeah, I get it. I went there one time. I probably waited about 40 minutes before I had anyone help me at all.
Yeah.
So I get it.
But just, I guess, go on a weeknight on a Monday. But thank you very much, gentlemen. Have a great day. Enjoy the warmer weather with no snow. So,
God bless you. Enjoy the golf. Work on that swing.
Thank you for calling, Matthew. Hit him straight, buddy. Hit him straight. What's up with the golfers lately, man?
Oh, I can't wait to get out. Can you? We've been to the dome.
I have to golf more this year. I have to golf more this year.
We've been going to the dome. There's a dome up here by us.
I've yet to go to Top Golf.
And we went to Top Golf once, maybe 3 weeks ago, and enjoyed the heck out of it.
Now, the course by me just got a couple of simulators. Have you tried? Have you gone to those yet?
Yeah.
I have heard good things about
those. There's three really good ones in Davison, Michigan, that we've been going to as well.
Really?
I got to tell you, I just enjoy swinging the club, as you know, this time of year especially.
Well, you went so long where you couldn't.
Exactly. And it's been so fun to get out and do that. So there are a lot of choices. You know, some people are listening going, I hate golf. Quit talking about golf. But you got to do more of it. You bug me, I'll bug you.
You're right about fair enough. You're absolutely right about that. Hey, question for you, because we have talked about this quite a bit over our time with the inside-outside guys. I'm trying to pull this up real quick, and it's not letting me roll. Okay.
What thought did you have that you didn't write down?
Well, it's right here. Funding to build or improve nearly 700 affordable houses across the state of Michigan. Governor Whitmore announced funding to build or improve nearly 700 affordable housing units across 17 projects from Sheboygan to Detroit, costing $176.6 million, creating 60 permanent and 1,100 temporary jobs. Tell me how you feel about that, Chuck.
My first reaction is negative. In my experience, when you give people new anything, give it to them, they don't know how to take care of it. We actually saw examples decades ago of people disassembling their free houses and selling them off, selling the siding off, selling the windows off. Mitch Albom has it right. He's going to give you a house, but you're going to earn it. You're going to make payments on it. You're going to be financially responsible. You're going to take classes before he turns it over to you. It's going to be several years of proving you can do it before you get it.
Yep.
And I think that's the only way to give. I believe in helping those people.
You've worked a lot with the people who own those houses, right?
Yeah,
those housing units. I've worked a lot right in the units themselves.
I've been in the inner city working. And
your
the
brother.
Stories I could tell, people would think I'm lying.
Oh, your brother. I've heard the stories. But I've been there with
sad.
You. You're absolutely right. If you give it away, the value isn't there.
Yeah.
Anything you give away, from your time to your knowledge to anything.
As parents, we knew that with our kids.
Away.
If you give something to your kids and they don't have a sense of the value of it, they're not going to treat it the way it should be treated.
You're absolutely right.
And it's true of citizens in the
marketplace. The problem is, Chuck, that's our money. That's the money you and I have worked for. That's our tax money.
Listeners' tax money.
I wish we had a little more say in stuff like that.
Yeah.
We have another segment left to take your phone calls at 888-654-GUYS. And if you looked ahead, like I said a little while ago, to the future forecast, we have snow in the forecast, but we have a lot of rain.
Hey, not only that, but we've got some great holidays coming up that you may want to decorate your house for. We got St. Patty's Day. We got Valentine's Day. We got Easter coming up.
Most houses out there need new gutters. Most houses out there need larger gutters. Get to Metro Detroit, Southeast Michigan's number one gutter installer. That's Christian's Gutters, who can also not only put beautiful colors, but put lights in there that you can press a button and have any holiday you want.
Accent lighting.
Accent lighting. They're called jellyfish lighting. And the only one around that can give that to you is Christian's Gutters. During the week.
Yes.
All right, let's go to the phones. 888-654-4897. Let's talk to Tom from Lake Orion. Good morning, Tom. You're on with the guys.
Good morning. Your show is very interesting as usual today.
Thank you. My
comment actually relates to Greg's comment about grounded plugs. I just wanted to briefly relate an experience we had, boating. And one time we had gone out of the dock, tied the boat up, done the electrical hookup. And a friend of mine jumped in the water and then tried to crawl back out on the ladder in the back of the boat and got a terrible shock. And so I said, hey, come on, this is impossible. And then I went and checked it. Yes, it's true. It was a terrible jolt on the backstay. So I started looking around, and I went around to the front of the boat, and somebody fooling around on the dock had taken the electrical plug on our boat, backed it out so that the third prong was not in the fixture. And so that was the grounding point, and the whole boat then you could have gotten a shock on if you put your foot in the water or touch things like that. And so the third prong, Greg, is really important.
That's a great way to catch fish.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I am a sick individual, and I'm laughing, even though I know.
You really are.
Horrible. You really are. You got some screws loose. I'm being honest. But that's horrible. You shortened the path of the ground, obviously, and it was just a lot easier for that electricity to flow through you and the water, to the water, excuse me, than it was to follow a ground path that was safe. Oh, my gosh. Thanks,
Tom, were you going fishing that day?
No. We came in from sailing, and it was so hot. He jumped in the water. I thought he was going to die from that shock.
Oh, my gosh. Any perches floating to the surface? Yeah, that's scary. That it truly is. And forgive us for the impropriety, me, of laughing.
That wasn't me.
But it's amazing, the truth of that. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call, Tom.
You know.
Yeah, that's a great call.
You guys have a great day. You've got a great show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Do you remember?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. He just reminded me how we used to get night crawlers when I was a kid. How we'd go out and
stick
not
a probe in the ground until they came out of the ground.
Yeah. I would make them out of threaded rods. And I know. And I would literally stick them a couple feet from each other, plug them in, and all these night crawlers started coming out of the ground.
They're all safe in their little dirt beds, and they're going, whoa, what's going on with that?
It worked really well. Really stupid, but it worked really well.
The things we do when we're young.
Oh, boy. You know, I tell you what I've wanted to do is do a blog. And I imagine how much fun it would be to get Victor and a couple of his guys, or Mike Kearns and a couple of their guys, and just sit around the table and talk about some of the stories that we've
over the
years.
I mean, when we chat with Mark Kramer and Mike Kearns and Victor about real life, off air, the stories
that
they
kind
have,
of stuff.
You're right. I know. You just have to be careful. I mean, I'm sure somebody was insulted because we were laughing at Tom's story.
No, we were not laughing. You were laughing.
I was laughing.
The inside guy. And you have you were just told your boss's wife hurt herself, and you were giggling. You're terrible.
I know. Steve's relaying a story, and God bless you, Kim, for I hope you're healing and out of pain. But he's telling me the story. And my problem is I'm a visual learner.
Yep.
So if you tell me this, I mean, we're listening to Tom. I see it like a movie in my head instantly. And I'm sorry, but
I agree. But you know what's funny about it is you're right. I try not to, because what she did was her fault. And when I do something like that now, if I do something that I don't remember and I hurt myself, and I guarantee she did the same thing. What an idiot I am. I feel stupid that I did something to hurt myself. And if I did that, you would be rolling on the floor laughing.
I would be. I know, and I truly am empathetic. I'm just such a powerful visual learner.
I get it.
I see those things instantly, and initially, I mean, again, that's scary. What Tom talked about, somebody could die. And we talked about shortening the path. The reason they make that extra protection in houses required where you might have water or a copper pipe, or a concrete floor resting on wet ground, is because that's where you're susceptible to being the shortest path for stray current to flow through. And if it flows through you, obviously that's where the health issues come into play.
Yeah, health issues. Good way to put it.
Thanks. I'm trying to win back a little credibility with the audience that's going, boy, is he a sick individual.
I got to work with you every weekend. Hey, couple minutes we have left. We just want to take a second and thank everyone for listening to the Inside Outside Guys and trusting the Inside Outside Guys. We get our numbers, you know, every 6 months or so. They do the numbers at the station, and every 6 months or so, the Inside Outside Guys grow about 10 to 20% every time we get our numbers back. Listeners, emailers, unique visits to the website, unique visits to certain pages on the website. Our team partners, our advertisers are telling us they're hearing from more of you. And whenever Chuck and I answer an email question, what we always say at the end of the email is, please tell all you know about the inside outside guys.
Yeah, tell everybody you know. We get the bad stories, you know, the people that didn't know about us and get in a bad situation that costs them stress and anxiety and maybe thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And we're trying to prevent that with people.
That's why we started the show.
It really is. It truly is. That was the reason.
We saw the need in the housing industry in Southeast Michigan for honest, ethical. We, you know, the old saying I tell my kids, two things that'll follow you around your entire life are your credit and your credibility. And when we sit down with people, Chuck, we tell them, you're not going to hear anything. Chuck and I have spent our lives trying to improve the housing industry, trying to improve people in the housing industry. Chuck's into education. Educate. I told you, probably one of the reasons we met in the first place is because when I started my business, I was a heck of a performer. I could do it, but I didn't have the business part of it. And that's
kind of our industry, isn't
it? It is our industry.
There's a lot of great practitioners that are not good business people, and that can lead to financial issues
down the road. And we're talking to you out there because we know there are a lot of contractors that listen to the Inside Outside Guys, and we are your allies. Anyone out there that is in the housing industry, the Inside Outside Guys are your allies. And if you need any help, we don't care what it is, we will help you. If we're able to help you, we will help you.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
It's interesting, too, because we try to be discerning with our team partners, and I feel real good that we've done a good job over the last 15 years with those two.
I do as well. I do as well. Hey, don't forget, we have the home show coming up in just 2 weeks, last weekend of the month. We hope to see you there at the Suburban Collection Showplace. We have a lot of stuff going on around town over the next couple months. Make sure you check out the InsideOutsideGuys.com and the Inside Outside Guys on Facebook.
How come you say that every time?
Because it's important that people know, from the roof to the basement, the street to the back fence, if you need it, the Inside Outside Guys are here for you today and every day.
Danielle, Dave, thank you for your help, and you, the listener, we appreciate you. Bye-bye.